go for medical liability next. I mean, they are not hiding the fact that they want to move from A to B to C, and that means take away people's rights to sue us through class actions and from holding us responsible, then move over and protect wrongdoers in the health fields from being held responsible for medical malpractice. Let's try to, you know, cover asbestos companies and those responsible for injuring or killing people by exposure to asbestos from being held responsible for that. They don't hide that this is the order, that the road they want to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're absolutely right. It's a concerted effort to try to stop, you know, big business and other wrongdoers from being held accountable in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're saying Capitol Hill. Well, how do you get things done in Capitol Hill? I mean, hopefully people can organize and make a difference at an individual level and in small groups, but a lot of it is money. A lot of it is contributions.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't work in the jury room. You can't buy off a jury. You can't, you know, you can't influence a jury. Do that. They're representatives of the community that are, to the extent the court can make it happen, immune from that sort of pressure. And if you have all the money and all the power, you don't like being in a place where all of a sudden it's leveled out,
mm-hmm.
and you're on an equal footing with the other side. So they don't like being held responsible to a jury.
Right. Okay. Well, let's stop for a moment and kind of unpack this class action legislation, if you can. I have two interesting quotes. One from Representative Rick Keller, a Republican from Florida, and he said this: "These out of control class action lawsuits are killing jobs. They're hurting small business people who can't afford to defend themselves." On the other hand, Representative Jay Inslee, a Democrat from Washington, stated, "This bill is the Vioxx protection bill. It is the Walmart protection bill. It is the Tyco protection bill. It is the Enron protection bill." We have a very striking difference here between a small business bill and a big business bill. What exactly does this legislation do? And if you could just comment on those two quotes, please.
Sure. Well, the class action, well, I guess it's not a bill anymore, it's a law now. The class action law, its goal is to force a lot of people who have been injured by, you know, across where somebody, a company produces a product that gets used across the country, for example, and causes a lot of harm to a lot of people, as it appears Vioxx fits that description, from coming together in a class action lawsuit where they get to together present the evidence and have it all go to one court. And those often happen in state courts. What this bill does is force all those class actions, or almost all of them, into federal courts. That doesn't sound like it means very much, except what it's done is take them out of a system in which there are a lot of courts and a lot of available courtrooms into an overburdened federal judicial system that may very well just not be able to handle any more cases. And that means justice gets delayed, and justice delayed is justice denied. And that goes without saying. That's true in general, especially if somebody's, for example, dying of an injury. So it makes it harder for people who have been injured to bring cases. It makes it harder for them. It slows down the process of those cases, moving through the justice system. It forces them into a federal court that may very well not be able to handle them. And as if that wasn't bad enough, they rejected amendments that would have gotten rid of a catch-22, which says that in many cases, the federal courts can reject a class action because it brings in the law from too many different states. And this is why the federal judiciary, one of the reasons many members of the judiciary opposed it, many law professors opposed it, because what you're left with is an overburdened court system, and then on top of that, this catch-22 where it gets forced in the federal court. The federal court says it involves too many different state laws, so we're sending it back out of federal court, at which point it appears there may be no place at all to go. I hope it doesn't really play out that way, but it sure looks like that. But the proponents of the bill, I think, really are hoping it does.
Right.
It's not about fairness. It's about just trying to protect wrongdoers from being held accountable.
Well, okay, let me ask you this, because I know that one of the points that the advocates of this bill often raise is that because there was such a wide discrepancy between the state legal guidelines, that lawyers were, so to speak, shopping their suit around to the most suitable state. Do you think that is a problem that should be addressed perhaps in other measures? Or do you think that states should be given the right to determine their legal guidelines? And if there are differences, there are differences, and this is just part of the legal system.
Well, I think states have the choice to decide what they want as their state law and how they want their state system to run. I mean, this is what supposedly the conservatives promote in other contexts, which is federalism and states' rights. That's a system which has worked in this country for quite a long time, and which, as I said, in other contexts, the people that supported this bill would be out there fighting for states' rights. That's the way the system is, and then states are free to make or change their own laws, their own procedures, and even their own methods of electing judges and things like that.
Is this, all of this, this class action lawsuit, do you think that this is, like some kind of preemptive move against possible pharmaceutical class action? We see a continual emergence almost with every month about a new drug that is being questioned. Is this something that really terrifies the big businesses? And this might be a preemptive move to legally protect them from any wrongdoing?
You know what? I think it's actually bigger than that, because I think it's been around. This has been making its way around, and they've been pushing this class action bill for quite a long time. I mean, not that pharmaceutical-based class actions weren't happening then too, but it does more than protect pharmaceutical companies. It protects the whole range of big businesses that do egregious or reprehensible things. I don't mean that. In other words, that's not most of them. Luckily, most big businesses do things on the up and up and produce good, safe products. But but this is a way to protect the companies that do things wrong or put out things that are dangerous. I think that appears to be to include the makers of a variety of different drugs. But I don't know if it's so much a preemptive move in light of Vioxx, because it's been around for a few years. This bill has been around for a few years. But it's a more general effort by these companies, the drug industry, the tobacco industry, other industries, to just try to not be held accountable when they do something wrong. And if that protects drug companies who've done wrong, that's why the drug companies are there. If it protects other big businesses for things they've done wrong, they're right in there too, fighting for it.
Right, right. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you very much. We don't have much time here at Civil Discourse, and I certainly appreciate the time you gave us. I will provide some links to your website again. You work for the Center for Justice and Democracy. Perhaps if people would be interested to pursue these issues further, I would definitely use this site as a resource. So thank you again, Jeff, for sharing your perspective with us on Civil Discourse.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, have a good day.
Well, there's something that I wanted to address particularly. And that is that it seems whenever I hear this debate over the integrity of our judicial system, I always wonder if there isn't another argument that's being missed here. For example, what if indeed there has been a growing dependence on the courts to exact justice, to adjudicate civil protections, to define what is right? Might that not be a consequence of a system of checks and balances that is no longer in balance? In other words, Congress no longer deliberates these issues of immediate interest to the citizenry. It's as if they've been lobbied, purchased, and ultimately overrun by big business interests. So rather than pursuing the public ideals of a social contract, Congress is now in the task to protect the private motives of a corporate contract. So given this imbalance, this loss of the people's house, isn't it expected that the judicial system would thus be overburdened with demands for redress? You know what, folks? I'm missing a paper here. A very important one. Do we have a caller? Oh, okay. There it is. Let me continue on this line of thinking. I make the claim that Congress is what's corrupted. Our legislative body no longer serves the public interest, but protects the private motives of corporate America. Now consider this. No other democracy in the world involves campaigns that burned hundreds of millions of dollars. In the 2002 House elections alone, just the House, $637 million was spent on campaigns. The incumbent won 98% of the races. That's a re-election rate that the mullahs of Iran would envy. So money buys power, the old adage goes. But it's one step further, folks. The lobbyists no longer bribe Washington officials. They are Washington officials. Who heads the Forest Service? The most ruthless timber industry lobbyist in American history. Who heads the public lands? A mining industry lobbyist who believes that public lands are unconstitutional. who now heads the air division at the EPA, a utility lobbyist who has represented the worst polluters in America for 20 years. The head of the Superfund is a woman whose former job was advising companies how to evade Superfund. And Daniel E. Troy, chosen by Bush as chief counsel, the top legal position in the Food and Drug Agency, shocked many FDA veterans. Why? Because as a lawyer in a private practice, Troy repeatedly sued the FDA, arguing that it had only limited ability to regulate drug companies. And don't even get me started on Monsanto's moles, who've burrowed so deep in Washington that, if they wanted to, could pass a constitutional amendment to add a Monsanto logo to the Stars and Stripes. There are more than 100 high-level officials under Bush who once represented industries as lobbyists, lawyers, or company advocates, and now are in the roles to govern and regulate them. We as a people no longer have a government for the people. These agencies established long ago to safeguard the public, to eliminate risks to our elders and children, to keep our communities free from poisons, to preserve the ecological beauty of our Creator, have all been hijacked. 2 out of every 3 FDA scientists lack confidence in their agency's ability to monitor the safety of current drugs. So is it really any surprise, then, that the concerns of public safety and health, which used to be the task of Congress, have now transferred to the courts? Lawsuits against pharmaceutical companies are the end result of a regulatory agency being overrun by pharmaceutical lobbyists that would rather approve quickly cash cow products than subject them to review. And let's just remember Enron. FERC, which was supposed to be the regulatory agency, was basically in the pocket of Enron. So we've lost congressional oversight of the industries. And because of that, we are now flooding to the justice, to the courts, as a last line of defense. What I'd like to do in the last couple minutes here is just bring to people's attentions a few events that are going to be in the area. One, next week, I will have on this show the war, Sergeant Jimmy Massey. Sergeant Jimmy Massey ended his military career with an honorable discharge in December 2003 after having served his country for 12 years. He will be here giving us a Marine's eye view. During his time in the Marines, he trained soldiers at boot camp in Parris Island and acted as a Marine recruiter in Waynesville and in North Carolina. He was sent to Kuwait in December 2002 in preparation for the invasion of Iraq. And as a result of what he saw and did in Iraq, Sergeant Massey began to have doubts about the U.S. mission in Iraq. He will be in the Binghamton area on Monday, March 7th at 7 a.m. He will be at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. At 2 p.m. he will be at Broome Community College. At 4 p.m. he will be here in studio for a live exclusive interview. And at 7 p.m. he will be at Binghamton University. I would strongly encourage community members to find one of these events that fits your schedule and listen to Jimmy Massey's perspective. Most of the information can also be found on Binghamton Independent Media Center website. They have compiled a comprehensive weekly newsletter that will keep you informed of all the different community events. If you go to their website, www.binghamtonpmc.org, you will find an article there that says weekly newsletter, and again, the information of both Massey and many other events are provided. Also, on March 1st, 2005, Broome Community College is having a convocation day. Author Eric Schlosser, author of the Fast Food Nation, will be presenting the address at 11 a.m. And at 3 p.m., there will be a screening of a fantastic documentary called The Future of Food. This same movie was screened by the Binghamton Independent Media Center 2 weeks ago at the Lost Dog Cafe, and it was such a stirring and provocative movie that it had since convinced organizations, other local organizations, to conduct repeat screenings. Now, on March 2nd, if you can't make it to March 1st at BCC, the movie will also be screened here at Binghamton University, and that is at 8 p.m. All of this information, again, can be found at www.binghamtonpmc.org. I want to thank you again for tuning in to Civil Discourse. This is Binghamton WHRW 90.5. I'm your host, Tariq Abdelazim. People, information is now a commodity. Consume wisely. We'll see you next week.